I was going to pray for brevity, but I didn't know if that was wrong.
You see. Well, good morning, everybody. It's great to see you. Who's excited to be here this morning? Yes. It's great, isn't it? I'm still just getting over the thought in my mind. I don't know about you. I love it when the kids stand in front of us. I just noticed that one of my nieces was wearing her pants outside of her other clothing. And I just said, I didn't want to obviously cause any issues as she was leaving, but I just said, was she aware of that? And she said, of course, Uncle Matt, I'm a superhero. So I'm just getting over that those thoughts in my mind. But I love childlike faith, don't you? Aren't there some days when you just wish you could wear your pants outside of your other clothing? We're all like that. I think there's something like that in all of us, isn't there? And yes. Okay, so we've got parents making excuses now as well. And now that's fine. There's no cape there now, Zoe, I assure you. She's just got the pants. But there is a real sense this morning, as we prayed before we started our meeting, and as we've gone through this morning, as Jill has raised some things and as the band have led us, there's a real sense this morning in my mind that God is on our case and he wants to speak to us. So my plea is for all of us this morning that we open our spiritual ears to what God is wanting to say. We respond to the things that he has in store for us today. And we're going to leave some time at the end to pray. As part of 21 days of prayer, of course, it makes sense to allow plenty of time for us to pray and to respond. So what do I want to talk about this morning? You'll see very quickly how it fits with all that has gone before, but we're starting this year thinking, as many people do, about living healthy. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, "Now may the God of peace make you holy in every way, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again." That's right, a bit of cheering for the word of God. And Paul distinguishes between three parts of what makes up who we are. There's this little diagram. So it's body, soul, and spirit. And last week, if you were here, we started by saying that we are complicated. And I got everyone to turn to someone next to you, and you can do it again this morning, turn to someone next to you and say, "You are still complicated." Okay, so we are complicated. We are complicated. I can see that's opened up a whole narrative. But we are complicated individuals, aren't we? And what happens is these three things, body, soul, and spirit, they're interconnected. So if we are physically unhealthy, it makes a difference to our emotional and our mental state and even our spiritual state. And last week we looked at what it means to have a healthy spirit. And we said these things. We said we'll stir our spirits, we'll align our spirits, we'll feed our spirits, we'll keep our spirits free, and we'll protect our spirits. And we talked about the principle of something called a prayer shield. If you're part of Ashwood Church, we've relaunched what we call the prayer shield, which is something that we use to pray and over one another as church. Everyone who's connected to church is part of this prayer shield, and we enjoy doing that and speaking protection and health over one another. And if you're part of a life group, then one of our life groups, then you'll be doing that as part of the life groups. If you're not and you want to get connected, then we'd love to help you do that. We've got people here this morning, Pam and Gary at the back, Molly at the front, who look after our, coordinate our life groups, and they'll be happy to talk to you. This morning, I wanted to talk about living well, and this week I want to talk about living well with a healthy soul or healthy mind. Going to start with a story. There were two farmers, and one farmer says to the other, "Look at all this rain. This is saving us loads of effort. We don't have to water the crops. They're watered and fed without us. It's great." The other farmer says, "Well, yes, but if it carries on raining like this, it will flood. All the crops will be ruined, and we'll be penniless by the end of the year." Then the sun comes out and dries up all the rain. And the first psalmist says, wow, this is great. All this energy, all this light, it's going to give us healthy growth. There's going to be amazing crops. Second farmer. Yes, but in all this heat, the crops will be scorched and die, and we'll have no harvest, and we'll be penniless by the end of the year. Anyway, the two farmers decide that they're going to have some recreation together, and they decide to go hunting. So the two of them head for a lake. The first farmer brings with him his brand new hunting dog. The two men get into the boat with the hunting dog, and off they go. And after a moment or two, farmer number one gets his shotgun out. Worth saying, no animals were really harmed in the making of this story. Just to say that. And the farmer, he shoots a duck. And as he does it, at the same time, he clicks his fingers. And the hunting dog jumps out of the boat, runs across the surface of the water, miraculously picks up the duck, brings it back again across the surface of the water, hops back into the boat, lays the bird at the feet of farmer number one. Of course, farmer number one is totally amazed and impressed and turns to his farming friend and says, so, what do you think of my new dog? Farmer number two says, I thought so. That dog can't even swim. And what we think about affects our responses to things, doesn't it? The way we think affects our behaviour and our attitude and our emotional life. Every action or reaction started somewhere with a thought. So to have a healthy thought life effectively means that we have a healthy whole life. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. Think about a healthy soul and a healthy mind. And before we say anything else on healthy thought life, we need to be really clear. Our starting point, we've already mentioned it this morning, is that we worship and we serve a God who loves us. So whatever we're thinking about, whatever's going on in our minds, God is for us and God loves us. In the beginning of the Bible, in Genesis chapter 2, it says, then the Lord formed the man from the dust of the ground. He breathed the breath of life into the man's nostrils, and the man became a living soul, some translations say. And God created our minds and our souls and our emotions, our wills. In other words, everything that makes us up as a person. So in the same way that we want to have a healthy spirit, we also want to have a healthy mind and a healthy soul. Now, I'm no expert on detox diets. Is there anyone in here who's done some kind of detox diet? Some friends of ours, a few years ago, we went out somewhere, and I think we were having a glass of water. That tends to be what I drink. And our friends, they both got out these big glasses, and they were full of some greeny brown stuff. And of course, the obvious question is, what and why? And they explained that they were on some kind of plan, and it was something that they actually paid. They told me how much they paid for this stuff. It came as a monthly kind of subscription, and they got a bucket of it every month, and they mixed it with water. And I can just take this one. Yeah, I'll take this one. This is Claire's. We share everything, and it wasn't like this water. And I remember asking them, what on earth, why? And they said, yeah, it's healthy, it does stuff to us, it cleanses us, it detoxes us. And I just carried on drinking water. And last time I saw them, I think they've moved on from that, because I think it was so expensive. But anyway, people have these detox kind of diets and things, don't they? And the idea behind it is that we clean out the rubbish food substances and we substitute with things that are good. And of course, the same principle can take place with our minds. And so this morning, just take a moment or two. Oh yeah, that's what I was talking about, basically. Strange idea. Psychologists tell us that in an average day, that we think between we have between 30,000 and 50,000 thoughts. I don't know where those numbers come from. Someone's obviously done some research. And of course, I know some of you in this room have a lot less. And of course, some of you in this room have a lot more as well, probably. But there are responses and there are reactions to things around us that are created in our environment. Things that we hear, things that we see, things that we listen to, conversations, things we read, media stuff and other influences and interactions with other people. And some of us may pay close attention to the things that we are eating and the things that we're feeding our body, but I wonder whether we pay as much attention to the things that we are feeding in our minds. Thinking about it this week, have you seen some of the... There's often some TV programs that are to do with diets. I'll be honest, I don't really watch them. But I've seen the odd clip where there'll be some healthy nutritionalist or healthy expert, and they will say to the person who's on some kind of diet, they'll say to them, are you aware of everything that you've eaten this week? And they do some clever thing where they put it all on the table, and you know, it's a huge table, and the idea is that it kind of shocks them, and they kind of go, oh golly, is that all the stuff that I'm going to be eating this week? And it's not quite like that, but it's that kind of thing. Well, I wonder what would happen if we looked at a day or even a week and we said, well, not just the things that we're going to physically eat, but what would our thought plate look like, if you like? What are all the things that would all the influences, all the stuff that we're going to feed our minds and our thinking? What would it look like? Would it be good? Would it be healthy? And maybe, as an aside, in 21 Days of Prayer, some of us are thinking about the things that we would take out of our physical diet. Some of us, as part of 21 Days of Prayer, I know, get involved with the biblical principle of fasting and basically removing some things physically so that we can create more space for God and meditating and praying and giving time for Him. And maybe there is something going on in terms of a detox for our soul and our mind as well at the same time. Just to make the point, maybe it's obvious, but maybe it isn't. As an example, imagine in your kitchen. Just imagine your kitchen for me now. Is everyone okay with a bit of imagination? Imagine your kitchen this morning, and specifically your kitchen bin. I assume everyone has a kitchen bin. You know, if you go to someone else's house, you never know where it is, do you? You come in with something and you go, oh, where's the bin? And it's hidden somewhere, isn't it? It's one of the things that we like to do. But imagine that your kitchen bin starts overflowing. Maybe there's rubbish over the last few days, maybe there's bits of food, and the bin is full, and it's so full that it starts to overflowing. There's now bits of rubbish all over the floor, stuff, it's basically, it's a mess. Come downstairs in the morning and you're aware of a smell. Can you imagine this? Is this a nice thought? Some people are like, yeah, I can see this. And other people are like, oh dear, this is my worst nightmare. Come down the stairs, you're aware of the smell. It's not nice, actually, it's quite stinky. So I don't know what you would do in this situation. Well, one thing you can do, what do you do to combat the smell? It's an air freshener job, isn't it? So air freshener, squirt, squirt, quick few squirts, lavender, or I don't know, there's some weird smells these days, aren't there? You can probably get gingerbread air fresheners and things like that, can't you? That kind of stuff, quick squirt. But actually, the smell from the bin is so bad that is not really going to do any good. So you can buy these more substantial plug-in air fresheners, can't you? These things are powerful, they're amazing. So plug one of those in, still very smelly. Plug two in, still very smelly. Actually, there's only one way of getting rid of the smell, isn't there? We can cover it up as much as we like, but important, what do you do? Call your husband from upstairs, get them to come down and take out the bin. I mean, I don't know what waste management in your house is like, obviously. Not necessarily. I'm not saying this is an imagination thing, isn't it? I wasn't saying that's what happens in our house or others. You know, I'm sure we've all got different little things that happen. But actually what happens is the only way to sort it out is to take the bin outside and get it out. And the only way to detox our minds is to get rid of the rubbish. One of our friends in America calls it stinking thinking. And you kind of, it's one of those things that sounds better with an American accent, doesn't it? So just say to the person next to you, stinking thinking. The Bible's clear on what the stinking thinking in our minds can look like if we're not careful. There's plenty of lists. You won't have to go far to look for them, but things like nastiness, slander, envy, immoral thoughts, smutty thoughts, anger, jealousy, anxiety, worry. What are we going to do? Are we going to get an air freshener with a few quick squirts, or are we going to get rid of these thoughts? 1 Peter chapter 2 in the Message version says this. It fits very nicely. It says, so, clean house. Make a clean sweep of malice and pretense, envy and hurtful talk, and basically anything else that's stinky. You've had a taste of God. Now, like infants at the breast, drink deep of God's pure kindness. Then you'll grow up mature and whole in God. So, clean house. I love that image. It includes the bin, doesn't it, of course. Make a clean sweep of the things that clutter and are stinking thinking in our minds. So what are we doing? What does the Bible say about the way that we can detox our soul and our mind? Well, the first thing is this. Take control of your thoughts. I used to think that thoughts would just come in, and I think this is a cartoon that might have been, is it a Beano thing or something like that? There was something called the numbskulls. Is that right? Does anyone else remember numbskulls? Something. Anyway, the idea is it's a cartoon illustration of the fact that there are these little thoughty kind of things inside our minds, inside our heads, and they've got different departments. And what happens is that they process thoughts and then they respond accordingly. And I guess I used to think that that my brain was just like all these thoughts that are coming in, and it's just like a thought processing department, and basically all the thoughts come in and I've got to do something with them, but they're all going to happen. I never really perhaps thought of the importance of taking control of thoughts. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10 it says this: we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we, this is the important bit, take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. So this is really actually very practical, isn't it? Take control, taking captive of every thought and making it obedient. So a thought comes in, maybe it's a thought which means that our response is to become anxious. Well, what do? We take hold of that thought, take it captive, literally take hold of it and get rid of it. And what's the alternative? Well, the alternative is to try and reason it away, or to think about it, to contemplate, to logically think about it. So, for example, something comes in, and the way to deal with fear is to think about it, to work it through, to concentrate on it, but it just doesn't work like that, does it? I know I'm getting you to work this morning, but here's another little experiment that I'd like you to do. I'd like you to think for a moment with me. Imaginations this morning are an important part of my talk, aren't they? I want you to think this morning about a large white bear. I want you to picture a large white bear. I can tell from looking at you whether you're joining in, so please make sure that you're thinking this morning about a large white bear. So this morning, if I could see thought bubbles right now, we've got thought bubbles everywhere, and everyone is thinking about a large white bear. And let's say that you've got trouble in your life because all you can think about is large white bears. Whatever happens, it's large white bears. There's a large white bear in your thinking. There's some people nodding, going, yes, you've hit the nail on the head, Matt. I'm always thinking about large white bears. I want to do something about this thinking, but all I can ever think about is large white bears. I can't get large white bears out of my head. And this is what a lot of people do. We pray, we say, Lord, help me with the large white bear. This white bear, it's getting bigger. It won't go away. I'm going to go on a course of anti-white large bearness. But what happens is the white bear gets bigger, the more attention that we pay to it, and the bigger it gets. And the Bible says, take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. So rather than thinking about a large white bear, perhaps you need to think about a large brown bear. The white bear is gone, but now you're thinking about a brown bear. And actually what we do is we replace those thoughts with something else. You know, creating a replacement is a lot better than focusing on the stuff that we want to get rid of, isn't it? The Bible says that we can have the mind of Christ. So we don't have to think about anxious thoughts. We don't have to have unhealthy thoughts. We can actually do something about it. But the great news is that we're not on our own. We know that we have a helper, the Holy Spirit, who helps us. In Psalm 139, there's a great prayer in there. In verse 2 it says, the psalmist says this, you know my thoughts even when I'm far away. And then further on it says, you made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me, this is why I've added this bit in, thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. See, it's true. I told you before. Your workmanship is marvellous, how well I know it. And then this is the key bit for this morning. Search me, O God, know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. What a great prayer about our thoughts and who we are and getting our thought life back on track. And what about Romans 12 verse 2? And perhaps this is the most important scripture of today. You know how sometimes people are talking and they say, if you're only going to remember one thing, this is perhaps the key scripture for this morning. It says this, really important. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. In other words, the way that the world thinks, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. The output then, the consequence, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Another translation says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. They seep into our thinking, they become acceptable, and it becomes the norm. But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. I don't know about you, but there's times when I know that I want to be transformed, and Paul says, well, how does that happen? It happens in our minds, by having our minds renewed. And the outcome is pretty good, isn't it? Then what will happen? We will learn to know God's will for us, which is good and pleasing and perfect. I don't know what are the thoughts which are uppermost in your mind, but sometimes, would you agree with me, some of the things we put in are not the healthiest or the most helpful thing for finding God's will in our lives. Sometimes before, I've made comments about soap operas. I'm not going to talk about soap operas this morning, but can I just recommend that if you enjoy watching soap operas, you just have a little check to see how much healthy stuff there is in some of those things. In fact, perhaps I shouldn't have a... I'm not really having a dig at soap operas. If you enjoy them, then I'm just giving you some helpful advice that there may be other things to do. But there's plenty of stuff, isn't there, in our world that is not healthy, that is not helpful. And there's plenty of it around. You don't have to go very far. Stuff on social media, TV. You know, sometimes on my way into work, I listen to the radio, and I'm listening to the news. It's all bad news. There's nothing in there that's going to encourage me, lift me up. There's people arguing about political stuff. And I just know, by the time I've got to work, I'm kind of like, oh dear, what am I feeling like? I'll get out of the car, you know, the world's a mess, everything's falling apart. And yet, actually, if I can fill my my mind and my heart and my life with things that are healthy, I just know, this is my own personal story, I know it makes a difference for the way that I think. And if you've been on the Freedom in Christ course, your ears are pricking up because you're saying, well, I know this stuff, this is how we get free. We take captive every thought, allow our minds to be renewed, and the end result is transformation. What a wonderful detox. Breathe it in, it's like fresh air to your mind. So take control of your thoughts, let's do that. Secondly, repent of wrong thoughts. Now, not every wrong or negative thought is as a result of sin or falling short, but if we all know that some of the thoughts that come into our minds are as a result of sin, which just means falling short of God's best for us in our lives. And some people say, can you pray for me to help me with a pattern of a thought life? And I want to get clean from some mud, if you'd like to use that analogy, of things that are stuck. But then, of course, we have a tendency to go back the next day into the mud pool. Well, what could a mud pool be? Just mentioned some of those things. Late night TV or unhelpful websites, unhelpful conversations about people that we end up finding ourselves in sometimes, unhelpful messages, unhelpful images. And of course, this is particularly important for young people because this is the norm that we're growing up in. You know, the social media world, the world of YouTube and Snapchat and Instagram, that's the things that our young people, that's the norm for where they will be receiving their input and information. And a lot of it is not always that helpful. And if there are things like that, well, what's the antidote? What do we do? And Jill's already mentioned it this morning. We repent. We say, sorry to God, I want to leave this behind. We do something about it. And of course, not always easy. The evil one, the enemy, evil spirits that are part of our spiritual battle, they know that these things are tempting. Last week talked about the fact that we are in a spiritual battle, and our minds are one of the key battle areas. The thing about sin and wrong thoughts is that they're tempting, they're attractive. But we need to say, Jesus, you're with me. I want to leave this mud, if you like. I want to leave this mud pool behind. So if the first part of a detox is taking control and clearing out, then the second part is replacing with right things. I've already kind of mentioned it. Philippians 4 gives us some ideas as to things that we should fill our house with. So if before we're talking about a clean house, then Philippians 4 says this: and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true, what is honourable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. This is one of the scriptures that was often quoted in our house as young boys growing up. My mother, some of you will know, here on the front row, if we were having conversations about things that were helpful, it was one of those scriptures that she would gently remind us of, just to check that the things that we were thinking about or the things that we were talking about are on this list. If they weren't on this list, we were gently but firmly suggested to remove them from our thinking and our vocabulary. And so in our house, this is a well-known scripture. But of course, it makes sense, doesn't it, to replace some of the, if we're going to do a detox of our mind, get rid of the rubbish, and what are we going to fill our minds and our thoughts with? Well, that list looks pretty good to me. And how do we do that? Well, I guess this morning you'd be surprised if one of the things wasn't to prioritize God's word in our lives. Last week we said that it's so important to feed our spirits. And it's not really a surprise that this morning one of the key things that we can do to make a healthy choice about what goes into our minds and into our souls is the Word of God. That's why some of us who've been around for years and years, we have things out of the Bible that we learnt in either songs or we learnt in our, some of us it was Sunday school back then. These days, of course, it's zones. And don't you just love it when the kids come out of their zones and they're reminding us of things that they've learned? And it's one of the key things, isn't it, that we want our kids to grow up with God's word, not just written on their hearts, but in their minds as well, so that they can understand God's best for them. We know that the Bible is God-breathed. It shows us truth. It helps us do all kinds of things. It helps us identify mistakes. It trains us in a godly life. We're shaped up and put together for the tasks God has for us. And last week I said there's all kinds of reading plans that will that can help us. If you're new to this and you want to get stuck into reading the Bible, then talk to someone. There are things on the internet. There are just some really helpful plans that help us together to read God's word, and often provide some explanation as well for things that are perhaps not so easy to understand. I know for myself that if I start my day reading God's word, it makes such a difference. I start with high thoughts rather than other thoughts, which could so easily be in my thinking, in my face. And actually, like we said right at the start, that our outlook for our day hopefully means that we're more discerning, we're more sensitive to distinguishing what to do with the thoughts that are going to come in during our day. So let's prioritize scripture. I know it's obvious, but let's, as part of our healthy start to a year, let's make sure that that's part of our makeup. So prioritize scripture, but also speak healthy words. There's obviously a clear connection between what we say and what we think. The Bible says a lot too about the words that we speak. Proverbs 18 says the tongue has the power of life and death. And Proverbs 15 says a gentle tongue with its healing power is a tree of life. Great words of wisdom and a great image. And sometimes some of the things that we speak out, often we speak out internally thoughts that are in our own minds and in our own thinking. I think psychologists call it something about the inner conversations of our minds. And there was one session of a ground level leaders day where we watched a clip of a guy called Henry Cloud. I think he might be from Willow Creek, and he's a Christian psychologist. And he said something which I think was really helpful. He talked about when anxious thoughts come and through situations or circumstances, and what happens to us is that when those thoughts come in, there's a chemical reaction that takes place in our bodies, something that stirs, something that happens, something that changes, and it has a knock-on effect. And if it's something where a thought has come in or a situation, something has happened. And often it starts a spiral process within our thinking. And the starting point, you could tell it was a talk because it was three P's. The first thing was it's something that hits us personally. So something happens, an event, a conversation, something around us in our environment, and we start to think about ourselves, and we start to internally say, oh, I'm rubbish, I'm useless, I can't do that. And then the second thing he says in this, it's like a spiral that takes place. He said the second thing that happens is first it starts personal. The second is it becomes pervasive. It affects everything. So I don't know if you can identify with this, but we start off by thinking, oh, I'm rubbish. And then we start to think, I'm not just rubbish in that one area. We start to think everything's rubbish. So I'm not just rubbish in that particular one thing. I'm rubbish at home. I'm a rubbish father. I'm not a good husband. I'm a rubbish driver. You know, suddenly everything, it becomes like pervasive. And then the third part is he says it's permanence. He says then we start to say things like, and have you heard these kind of thought processes before on the spiral? He says, we start to say, oh, I'm never going to get any better. I'm always going to be this. Nothing is ever going to change. And suddenly we start speaking these things internally in our minds. And we're going, I'll never be a success. I'm always going to be lonely. I'll never pass this exam. And they're permanent things. And yet the truth is that we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. So when we say I'm not good at anything, the fact is that actually we're seated with Christ in heavenly places. And the spiritual benefits package of following Jesus is totally amazing. And so what this guy was saying is basically learn to identify at the point at which the spiral starts and put a stop to it. It's all part of taking captive and taking control, I guess. I don't know about you, but I think for some of us, we're far too quick to allow the spiral to take place, and it takes far too long for us to get out of it. Is that just me? Just tell you a little story. At our life group on Monday night, we were talking about some of the ways that we help one another. And we stayed in a hotel, Claire and I and Joel and Lauren. And one of the things that was on the pillow, there was a label on the pillows. I don't know if you've ever been to a hotel like this before. And there was a label on the pillows, and it you can't really see on there, but it said soft and firm. So you could choose which kind of pillows you wanted to choose in this hotel. It wasn't a posh hotel, otherwise we wouldn't have been staying there. But on the pillows it said soft and it said firm. And I found this slightly amusing. In our family, we asked Joel and Lauren to say, as well as pillows, perhaps does it describe something of our parenting styles? We said, you know, if you had to give one of these to your mum or your dad, which one would, you know, who are you going to give it to, the soft and the firm side of things? And of course, I'm not going to divulge what that looks like this morning. You can come and talk to us later, or you can try and work out, and perhaps it's a competition. You could send your entries on a postcard. Do we still have postcards? Yeah, probably. But actually, we said in our life group, you know, how do we want to be as people together? Because one of the things that we said about life groups is they're a place where we can grow, they're a place where we want to support and help one another. And sometimes if there's things that are challenging, there's two options, aren't there? One is that we can just be fluffy, you know, huggy, you know, everything's all right. Or the other alternative is we can be perhaps firm. So if that's the soft, then the firm is we say to one another, listen, you know, this really isn't acceptable. You know, you've been on this spiral so many times. Do you mind me just pointing out that the kind of the ways that you live your life, sometimes the spiral, you know, you're not very good at getting out of the spiral. And depending on whether you're used to that, depending on whether that's something that you think is helpful or not, will determine your response. But actually, we've kind of declared that we want to be a relational church where we help one another. So sometimes someone just giving me a hug and patting me on the back and saying, yeah, Matt, I know you always get these dodgy thoughts and you're always, you know, spiraling down into self-pity and feeling sorry for yourself. And, you know, I'll just give you a quick hug and a quick, you know, everything will be all right. Not really going to help me, is it? And I don't know about you, but I want to be part of a community, of a family. And we agreed that in our life group that we were going to give each other the opportunity to have some of the firmer conversations. How many people like firm? Sorry? Yeah, in that context. Our friend, some of you will know Dwayne White from Texas. One of his phrases is, he says, put a rubber band around your head and snap out of it. Put a rubber band about your head and snap out of it. He says that. And I'm not going to say that because it doesn't really fit quite as well. But you get the idea of the kind of things he's saying. And of course, we're not alone. There's plenty of Bible characters who, let's say, had issues with not seeing themselves in the same way that God did. Moses, Elijah, Gideon, Caleb, Peter, and Paul for a start. All called by God for a purpose, but they all had issues. Gideon, and those of you who know the story of Gideon, he's a great example. An angel pops up and says to him, Gideon, mighty warrior. And Gideon goes, oh, I think you must have got the wrong address. I'm not the mighty warrior. I think you must be thinking about somebody else here. Actually, we're from the tribe of the small people. I think that's, and there's something, isn't there, something about the name of the tribe, it literally means the tribe with bad hair or something. I think it's something, I'm sure I've heard someone say something like that. And yet Gideon was called by God to do a number of things, and he had to step out of that kind of thinking, his own self-pity, his own kind of low view of himself, and yet God was saying that there's actually something much higher. Our words, back on words, form tracks in our lives. It's a great illustration on the Freedom in Christ course. Those of you who enjoy walking will have seen places in the fields where you can tell where tractors and Land Rovers have been, because the heavy machinery has been so many times that they create tracks in fields, don't they? Do you know what I mean? So if that's happened so many times, actually it becomes very difficult to drive outside of those tracks because they're so deep. And it's the same with the words that we speak in our lives. Sometimes if we said things so many times that actually we get stuck in these tracks. And if we're constantly speaking negative words about ourselves, I'll never do that, I can't do that, whatever's going on in our mind, we make those tracks that are very difficult to get out of. And that's why it's so important to speak positive things, to speak, yes, God's word, but to speak hope, to speak truth, and to form some new tracks that God has called us to together. So let's see the best, believe the best, and in faith expect the best. We don't want to settle for old tracks at the start of 2016. There is a way, there is a hope, and we can choose to make a different choice. Being positive is something that we think a lot about in our family and in church as well, because what does it do? It creates an environment where the Holy Spirit is free to empower our lives. So, nearly done. Hopefully this morning you can see the importance, if you didn't already know it, of what happens in our minds. And very often the battle for our lives takes place right there in our minds. The Freedom in Christ course makes it really clear that everything that happens in our lives starts with a thought. So if we can protect our thought life, get rid of the rubbish, and replace with good stuff, then we can position ourselves to live well and to live healthy the way that God intended for us to live. And so maybe this morning, the words that Nick mentioned about this prophetic image, this picture, if you like, of a set of keys, maybe this morning that it fits very well with this talk, because maybe there are keys, maybe there are things that we can do in our thinking to help us to live well and to have a healthy soul and mind along with a healthy spirit. Take control of our thoughts, repent of wrong thoughts, prioritize scripture and speak healthy words. But let's be really clear, this isn't as I was thinking about this morning, this isn't a self-help talk, it's not a psychology lesson. That wouldn't be helpful, would it? That would just be all, let's just do our best, let's just pick ourselves up and shake ourselves and move on. Actually, what we're saying is that we can set the direction, we can make healthy choices, and we can invite the Holy Spirit, who is the great helper, to help us live and to think the way that God planned for us to live and to think. And I know in this room this morning, I don't know where all of us have come from, but I know with some of the conversations that I've had that actually many of us find ourselves at the start of 2016 with some challenges. And part of that challenge is the way that we think and the way that we approach the thoughts that are in our mind. So, you know, when there are challenges that come, whether it's anxiety, whether it's fear, whether there are practical situations, whether there are relational things, you know, so often the enemy loves to get involved in our thinking with respect to how we respond and we react with other people. You know, unhelpful comparisons about the way what other people have or what other people do. And we know, because that's the stuff of life, the challenges that we face in terms of relationships within families, outside families, within our workplace. They're all things that actually, if we can make positive choices, can totally change and transform our lives. So why don't we pray together? Hopefully what I've said this morning makes sense. Hopefully it's helpful. Always keen when we're thinking of these things is to practically, how can they make a difference in our lives? So one of the things I've tried to do this morning is to be practical. How many people would like to live healthy, have healthy minds, have healthy souls? Well, why don't we stand together and just pray as we close? And maybe this morning there's something particularly as we worship together, as Jill spoke to us at the start, and maybe there are things that... I know for some of us this morning, you're saying, well, I've heard this before, or I've addressed this before, and maybe you're saying this morning, it didn't make a difference, I can't do it. Well, this morning, how about we just give God another chance? One of the things that God has said to us is, ask me first, and it may be that you've asked him first already, but maybe he's also saying, ask me again. And there may be some things that you can identify in your thought life. Maybe there are things that we could agree together that we want to clear out. Maybe there are some detox situations that we can practically do in our lives. The truth is that all things are possible through Christ who gives me strength. And either that's true or it isn't true. It doesn't mean everything is going to become easy necessarily. Doesn't mean there won't be challenges. In fact, we'd be naive to think that there won't be challenges. But it does mean that we have a route, a pathway, the Bible says, to everlasting life, where we can make some choices and then invite the Holy Spirit, the great helper, to help us. And I know there's many stories in this room of people who can share their stories of how God has helped them, how the Holy Spirit has helped things in our own thought processes, our own thinking. You can do it. So let's pray together. Holy Spirit, this morning, Spirit of God, we invite you to come and help us. I thank you that throughout our time together this morning, you've been identifying and highlighting things to us. I thank you that you never come to condemn us. You never come to bring condemnation into our lives or shame. You do exactly the opposite of that. You come to remove it. You come to set us free. You come to help us. And this morning, Lord, we're not here to hear words of condemnation in our lives, but we're here to welcome your Holy Spirit and to welcome the freedom that comes as we make healthy choices in our lives. And Holy Spirit, this morning we're asking that you would help us to take captive every thought, to be transformed as our minds are renewed, to prioritize Scripture, and to speak healthy words to ourselves and to one another. What a transformation that takes place in our lives. And we're so grateful, Holy Spirit, that you partner with us, that you live within us, Spirit of God. You help us actually be the people that God intended for us to be and made us to be. And this morning, in these moments, we respond to you individually, and we respond to you together as church as well. Welcome you, Holy Spirit. We welcome you, Spirit of God. Help us to be thinking your thoughts, God. Thank you, God. As we close our meeting this morning, in a moment, going to give everyone, like we did last week, in 21 days of prayer, and just have this real sense that God is asking us to ask him first. So we're going to create an opportunity while the kids are still out as well, for people just to come and ask someone to pray for you and stand alongside with you, and know that there are a number of situations, and maybe some of that is this morning, as God has spoken something to you, just say, yeah, you know what, it would be really helpful to have someone to stand with me and to pray with me. Just wanted to just give you a very quick encouraging story along the lines of asking God first. And Zoe, some of you will have read in Ashwood News, but I just wanted to share this morning. So Zoe.
I felt last summer God really challenging me on my prayer life, and kind of I could have just done nothing, but I kind of said, yeah, God, I want you to challenge me in this. And then in the autumn, we were in our life group on a Wednesday morning, and we were just talking about the different attributes of God, writing some of them down. And one of them we really focused on was God as our healer. And there was a few people there who were kind of saying, I really struggle with this concept. And I was sharing the story of our neighbour across the road, who kept telling me every time I saw her about her illnesses, and I really felt that I should pray for her for healing, but I felt like I couldn't, because I didn't want nothing to happen and then that to be like a bad witness to her and not be able to see God through that if nothing happened when I prayed. So June at the same time was there with a bad shoulder, and she was sharing how she was really struggling to ask God for healing for that, because she was struggling to believe that God could heal it. So Janet, as usual, was kind of stirring us up a little bit, and she suggested that I should pray for June, and she prayed too when we prayed for June, and for her shoulder to be healed. Later that week I texted June and I said, oh, how's your shoulder? And she said, oh, it's still sore. So I was like, oh, I'm going to pray some more. So I kept on praying, and then forgot about it really. And then a few weeks later I was at June's house, and she said, oh, I keep meaning to tell you, my shoulder's been really free of pain now for a few weeks. And that was really exciting, and she's here today. I hope she's not going to tell me afterwards that it's hurting. But now, actually, I would be able to pray for that in faith now, again, yeah, if it was still hurting.
Good.
And then I still didn't have opportunity to pray for my neighbour, because I really felt that's what it was all about, actually. And as I've reflected on it this morning, it's part of that transforming of our minds, actually, that when we were praying and we're letting God things, that whatever happens now, kind of, I know that God, my perspective on God as a healer has changed, actually. Yeah. And then I still was wanting an opportunity to pray with my neighbour, and then whenever I spoke to her, I kind of wimped it and or didn't feel appropriate. And then just before Christmas, I went round to her house to take a Christmas card and invite her over for some Christmas cake and stuff like that. And we were just chatting about her illness, and she said to me, I pray every night that God will take the pain away. Right. And I was like, whoa, yeah. I can't ignore this now, can I? So I said, well, can I pray for you now? I'd really like to pray for you. And she was like, yeah, you can. And she was really blown away by it. And so I just prayed for her, a really simple prayer. And she was just amazed and just completely couldn't believe that someone would do this for her. And when I was talking to Matt about it, I said, I haven't seen her since, and I have never seen her since. And so I've asked her how she is, and she's not well at all. Right. She's not good. But I'm keeping praying for her. And I said to that I'm keeping praying for her. And really, I'd like to invite everyone else to pray for her. Her name's Jean as well, because I do believe that God can break through in that situation. But actually, God's already broken through in that situation, because even if she's not healed, she has seen something of God.
Right,
and she's seen something of my love for her and God's love for her through that situation. And that's what I'm praying for more of as well, that her life can be transformed, even if she's not healed. But I believe now that God can heal her.
Brilliant. So that's a great story. And there's lots more we could say, but what I want just simply to invite you to do this morning, perhaps many of us can pray, but just to have a few people who are perhaps some of our life group leaders or support life group leaders, if you would just come and stand here with me for a moment, and then if those of you who wouldn't like to be prayed for, if you're a life group leader, then the important thing is that we respond to God. And I'm just going to simply invite, we'll close the meeting very shortly as well, but if you would like this morning someone to pray with you for something specific, maybe it's an issue this morning that is raised, or maybe it's something completely different. I got Zoe to share that story because I just get the sense that there are people here this morning who, you know, perhaps it's a healing issue, relational thing. There are keys this morning that God wants to use to unlock and bring us freedom. So just as we close, why don't you come now, and then we'll pray as we finish. Just come and find one of these people this morning, allow them to pray with you and for you. Let's just do this quickly. You don't have to give all the details if it's something that it's not appropriate to do that. We won't pray, we're not praying long prayers, this will be quite short. Of course, that we're aware that there are other situations that we are connected to, and if before you go you want to grab someone to stand with you and pray with you, perhaps you have a friend or a colleague or a situation where you know that requires some input from God, even a miracle, then let's take that opportunity this morning. The God that we worship wants the best for us. He has plans for us. Sometimes we can't always see it, but I want to encourage us this morning that's the God that we worship. That's the God that we give our lives to. So God, as we close our time together this morning, we thank you that you're on our case. We thank you that you're for us. Thank you that you're not against us. Thank you that you love us more than we could ever know. Thank you that you put us in a community, in a family of people who also worship you and praise you and love you. Lord, as we continue as a church in 21, days of devoting ourselves to prayer. Ask that you would stir something within us even this week, that you cause our faith to be increased, that you'd strengthen our understanding of who you are and what you've done for us, and cause us to take hold of all that you have. In Jesus' name, amen.